Good morning. It's good for us to be in the presence of God, in the presence of the many witnesses that he has. We, as the saints of God, meet this morning for the purpose of fellowship with one another and fellowship with God and his Holy Spirit, and certainly that we might have an unwavering faith in our lives as we give God all the glory. Amen. The title of today's lesson is just let it go. Will you let it go? We've got to let it go. You know, when the focus of our lives is on Jesus Christ and his gospel, we can feel joy regardless of what is happening or what is not happening. We can feel joy in our lives because we are focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, God's Son. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak you the gospel of God in much conflict. I wonder if we've forgot to continue to navigate our faith amid this present day crisis. There's a lot of distractions in our lives right now because of the things that are going on in and around our lives. And I wonder if we forgot to continue to navigate our faith amid this crisis. And if indeed you have, I want to encourage you against drifting away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when you have confidence in God, you will have no problem talking to people about God and or even defending your faith. When you look at the growth of the church in the book of Acts, you see over and over again how the apostles and other faithful men spoke God's word boldly, even if it meant their death. In fact, they rejoiced if they suffered for the cause of Christ because they knew that they were being pleasing to God. Confidence in God, you know, it annoys some people. And confidence in God will annoy people more times than not. This is why there are some today that'll say, you people think that you're the only ones going to heaven. And the reason they say this is because we have the ability to give book, chapter, and verse of why we have confidence in our salvation. Book, chapter, and verse of why we have confidence in God. And we also know what it takes to be a faithful Christian. So those who oppose our confidence usually cannot offer up any verses that support their way of life. So they resort to telling you how they feel instead of telling you what God says, what the Bible says. So don't ever let the words and opinions of others take away from the confidence you have in your salvation. Never let the words and opinions of anybody take away what it means to be faithful to God in Christ, because your confidence comes from God and only through his word. And when we learn to trust in God, we'll also have the confidence we need to pray to God and know that he will hear what we say. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, the Bible says these words. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We should never doubt that God hears our prayers, because he does. And we should know that he will answer those prayers in accordance with his will. And as James teaches us, we should not pray to God with doubt, because God wants us to pray to him, believing that he will hear us and answer our prayers. And John also adds this, 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is why you and I can have confidence in our prayer life. If we know we are living by God's commands and we are doing those things that are pleasing to him, he will answer our prayers and help us in our time of need. Peter to the Jews of dispersion in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But our God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even though God calls us to repentance and assures us of his promises, there are a lot of things that we will simply not let go. And in a lot of things, even as Christians, we fail to see God's promises revealed in our lives for the lack of faith that we have in him. So the question of the day is, what is it that you're holding on to? And why are you holding on to it? What is the real meaning of the cliche that people bounce around every day of their lives? What is the meaning of the cliche that says, let go and let God? What does it really mean? Well, here's a story that's sure to reveal just how much faith we have in God and how confident we are of his promises. This story is kind of bittersweet to me because when I first read this story, I thought it was just so funny. It just brought out laughter in me initially. It's just as funny as it is real. And it alludes to our faith or lack thereof in the God that we serve. Here's the story. A man fell over a cliff, and a few feet below the edge, he caught a bush that grew out of the side of the cliff. He was terrified and began praying. The story has it that the Lord answered him audibly and said to him, "What is it that you want?" "Save my life," the man pleaded. God said, "Do you believe that I'm able to save you?" "Oh, yes, I believe," the man said. "What would you be willing to do to show your faith?" asked the Lord. "Anything, anything at all," the fellow pleaded with God. He says, "Anything at all I will do, just save my life." And God said, "Then turn loose that bush." You see, God is the source of our confidence. And if that rings true in your life, why do we choose to be in control? Why will we not let go? Why do we choose to do it our own way and not the way of God? Why do we choose to serve God at our leisure and not when God calls us to? Why do we choose to waffle back and forth in our faith? And why do we choose to not let go of this world? Oh, we've got a grasp on this world that's just unheard of. And some things we just simply will not let go. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 says these words, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" When we read all these passages like this, it shows us that God is the source of our confidence. God is our rock. He is our anchor. And when we put our trust in him and we see that he's always there for us, it should give us great confidence in God alone. It should give us great confidence in the salvation that comes from God alone. He is our rock. He is our anchor. We can have full assurance of faith, knowing full well that God's word is true. It's true. And when you consider that God doesn't want anyone to perish, and you step back and take a look at everything that God has done for you, you will see that we have a God that has done everything he can to make us successful in obtaining salvation. You see, he's not against us. He's for us. And I mean obtaining salvation for whatever it is you need to be saved from. Some of us need to be saved from ourselves. Our God is able to save us even from ourselves. He's not against us. He is for us. But we have to choose to obey and endure all things until the end. We have to let go whatever it is that will hinder our eternity with God. We got to decide whether we want to hold on to the bush or let it go. Knowing and obeying God's word should keep us and help us to all assurance we need for our salvation. Knowing and obeying God's word should help us in any situation, in any time of our lives, and any need that we might have, even those personal struggles that we just simply refuse to let go. We got a lot of baggage that we continue to carry around all of the time. We just can't seem to unload it, can't seem to just let it go. But there are several warnings in the New Testament that regards our thoughts, especially the thoughts about ourselves and those things that we simply seem to be so full of. Paul speaks to all people in Romans 12:3 when he warns us not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 reads, "If a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And the summary of these scriptures, the summary of this whole matter is this: whether we like to think it or not, man is capable of wrong thinking. We can think ourselves into or out of just about anything. We can convince ourselves in or out of just about anything. We can deceive other men into believing us just about anything. Free thinkers, you see. There are free thinkers out there in this world. Free thinkers have thought about so much that they've let go of the morals that they've had. Free thinkers have thought about so much that they let go of ethics. They've thought about so much that they let go of the truth. Free thinkers have thought about so much they've let go of and belief in the existence of a true and a living God. Because they're free thinkers, you see. And some professed Christians have also shamefully thought their way into pride, shamefully thought their way into immorality, and shamefully thought their way into sin of all kinds. And they also refuse to let that go. This clearly shows that what we think is important, because our thinking is a determining factor in the way we live our lives, also, and even in the way that we die. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 says these words: "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." We have confidence toward God, not in ourselves. Hence, it's necessary that our thinking be controlled by the very words of God. And the very words of God looks at us when we've got a hold on this world so tight. The words of God looks at us in all of our desperations, and he says, "Let go of that bush." Let it go. Let it go. If you truly believe that God can and will save you, let go of all those fears. If you truly believe that God can and will save you, let go of all those inhibitions. Let go of all those all too common earthly concerns. Concerns that adversely affect your faith. And rest in and be reminded of the promises of God. Be reminded so that when you come to the edge of your own cliff, whether it be an earthly or spiritual cliff, for we all tripped up from time to time, when you get to the edge of that spiritual cliff, you can have assurance and confidence that our God can and will save your very life. So let it go. Let it go for life eternal. Let it go, because that moment that you've tripped is only temporary. You can get up. You can get up. It'd be a shame to fall, not ever be able to get up, and even more so, to not to take the hand of the one who reaches out to save your very life. You can have assurance and confidence that our God can and will save our very lives. There are too many people at this time that's worrying about death and they're not thinking about living. Not thinking about living at all. I imagine you're on the edge of that cliff holding onto that bush and you're not thinking about life at all. You're regretting those things that you've done or things that you should have done or the people that you should have loved or the people that should have loved you. And you're holding on to that bush. Not that you could go back and repent or say that you're sorry. You're holding on to it because you don't want to die. We get tripped up from time to time, and our thoughts are just not in line with the thoughts that come from God. Do you think that God could save your life? Do you? He says, let go of that bush. Let it go. That's faith in a nutshell. That's faith. That's faith in God. Let it go. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. More often than not, we find ourselves caught up in the worries of this world. And I say this not to trivialize this present crisis, but to emphasize that God knows all things and has put to rest our fear of dying. He's put it to rest. He's put it to rest in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. He's conquered death. He's taken away the sting of death. He's taken away the evil that surrounds us when it comes to our thoughts on death versus life. To the church in Thessalonica, Paul penned these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, and also verse number 23. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing about confidence in God, it annoys some people. It annoys them more times than not. And what's surprising to me, and really it really isn't, is that confidence in God even annoys fellow Christians sometimes. And if the truth be told, it has even annoyed you, depending on your present company, depending on whether you want to be bothered with God or not, depending on whether you want to let go of the world and tell people about Christ, it annoys you sometimes as well. But when you have confidence in God, you will have no problem whatsoever talking to people about God. You have no problem defending your faith. You will have no problem believing in God's promises when you fall. No problem in believing God's promises when crisis seems to prevail. When you have confidence in God, you'll be willing to let go of anything that besets you and hold on to your faith. Even in this day that we live, we can't find ourselves drifting. We have got to hold on to the gospel of truth every waking moment of our lives. More than anything else, God knows I'm so glad that every day is not the same. That we can come to him and petition him on our own behalf and on behalf of others as well. Those of us who fell off the cliff and those who are going to fall and grab the same branch, God says to all of us, for he has no favoritism. He says to all of us, we're all in the same boat, just let it go. Let it go. Hold on to your faith. Do you believe that I can save you? Do you believe that God can save you? Let it go. Hold on to your faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside every weight of whatever it is that you're going through. Lay it aside. And let's run. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Run. Run with the purpose of finishing. Hold on to God and run so that you can have eternal life. Whatever it is that's bothering you. Whatever it is that you're worrying about. Whatever it is that this life has dealt you. Let it go. Because God can save you. Even in the darkest hours of our lives, and even the most desperate of times, your man still has his thoughts on salvation. Everybody knows about salvation. And everybody wants salvation their own way. Everybody wants it. But they don't want to let go of what they've learned that's not the truth. Those free thinkers who want that salvation, they want it with no self-sacrifice. Those free thinkers who want salvation refuse to give up sin. They want salvation. They want the church and they want the world. I want you to listen to the thoughts of man, these faithless thoughts on salvation. Matthew chapter 27, verses 42 through 43. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from that cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now. If he will save him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Mark chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. Save yourself. Come down from that cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and we might believe. Luke 23, 35 through 37. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save yourself. There's nothing new under the sun. We utter those same words with the lives that we live today. In those words, we look God right in the eye and we tell God, let go of that cross. If you let go of that cross, I'm gonna let go of my sin. We look him in the face and we say, let go of that cross. If you let go of that cross, we'll do anything for a second chance of life. We say, let go of that cross. That's not the way that we were cut out to be saved. I've got a thought in my mind how I could be saved, but you've got to get down off that cross and allow me to believe that you're the Christ, because if you can save yourself, I know you can save me. Everybody wants second chances, but few people seem to take advantage of those second chances. And we all know that there are no second chances when death comes to claim us. So before that happens, make up your mind to also bear your cross. Bear your cross and carry it with joy, even in the face of adversity, carry your cross. You're going to have some mockers out there. You're going to have some people that are going to tell you, y'all think y'all are the only ones that's going to heaven. Face that adversity. For our God is faithful. And he will save us. Save us. Isaiah 59, 1 says these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Been a lot of people that came up short when you asked them to help save you. And that's really no contradiction at all, because man cannot save man from anything. God is our Savior. He's our salvation. He's our confidence and our assurance. Look around at your life. Thumb through the pages of the life that God has given you and see where your faith stands with God. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to fall off that cliff. And you're going to grab hold of that bush. And in your desperation, you're going to ask God to save your very life. As Christians in Christ, God is already saving our lives. But we're so detached from God, we can't see that. Even in the face of adversity that we're facing now with this coronavirus, we can't see that God is in the midst of our lives. We fell off the cliff. And we don't know how we're going to climb back up to that edge. And too many times we find ourselves, very few of us, able to climb back to that edge, but we slip again. Do you believe that God can save your life? It's a simple question. And if you believe that God can save your life, then just let go of that branch. Let it go. Let it go. Here's a story. A man fell over a cliff. And a few feet below the edge of that cliff, he caught a bush. A bush that grew out of the side of the cliff. He was terrified and began praying. He pleaded with God, and God audibly gave him an answer. What is it that you want? Tell God what you want, church. Tell him what you want. Because we want the same things that this man wants. We want God to save our lives. But we don't want to do anything for it. We just want God to act, and we're free thinkers. We're not going to think about what we have to do because we don't want to do anything to save our own lives, not even hear God's word. When he's looking at us and telling us directly, do you believe that I'm able to save your life? And curtly you say these words, yeah, God, you know, certainly I do. I believe that. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to show your faith in God? And we say cavalierly, anything, anything, God, anything that you want me to do, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to cheat anymore. Lord, I'm not going to even steal. If you believe God can save your life, he says, then turn loose that bush. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 23 says these words. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I just want to tell you this morning that inside the church or outside of the church, here's your chance to fulfill that cliche, let go and let God. Because Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for your thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Because the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I bet you never thought that God would look at you and tell you to let it go. We can't think like God. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. And I'm glad that we can't, because every decision that we make concerning salvation would be a wrong one. Man is capable of wrong thinking. I want everyone to understand this, because I want everyone to be able to have this confidence in God, this faith. If you love God and want to have confidence that faith calls us to live for God, you've got to first abandon your thoughts and obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've got to get rid of your fears of the things that are earthly and have faith in those things that are spiritual. You know, Paul said that even the demons believe in God and they tremble. They tremble because they're not going to have faith and believe in the promises of God to deliver them. They want to continue in their evil. You've got to abandon your own thoughts. Obey the gospel of Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the word of God and you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, I just hope that you make up your mind to do so today. If you continue to deny the importance of baptism and you don't submit to it for the right reasons, then you'll never be able to have the confidence of making it to heaven. Because you've never died. You've never died with Christ. And your sins have never been removed. Get off that cross. Save yourself. Let that cross grow, Christ. Let it go. You got the power to do that. He also has the power to save your souls. And that's why he asks us all to tune our ears and hear his word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 21 says this. I'm going to read this to you backwards. Just follow me, if you will. Start in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 21. But to Israel, he said these words. All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto disobedient and gainsaying people. Now go to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing. Have you heard him tell you to let go? Do you have faith that you can do it? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of our God. We've got to believe that Jesus the Christ. John 6, 45 through 47. Listen to God. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man had seen the Father, except he which is of God. He had seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me shall have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? We got to repent of our sins. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men in their own thoughts count slackness. But our God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a great twist of irony. If you let go of that branch, in our own minds we know we're going to die. But God says, let go of that bush if you believe that I can save you. A lot of people are hung up in bushes all over this world because they don't believe in the word of God. They don't believe in the salvation that comes from God, and they should repent for that because God's word is true and it's full of saving power. We've got to confess. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh sins, them shall have mercy. What a wonderful word, what a wonderful phrase that I've heard all of my life. And it rings true even today. Those words are just, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And he will be merciful for you and to you if you will just let go. Let it go. Galatians 3, 22, 26, and 27. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You can have the promise of faith from God if you would just believe his words. Have full assurance of that faith. For we all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, by faith, by that assurance that God has given us in his Son. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, save yourself, but we regard him that way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. What a wonderful, wonderful way to know that our God is our rock. He's our help in the time of trouble. When the focus of our lives is on Jesus Christ and his gospel, we can feel joy regardless of what is happening or not happening in our lives. Let God make it happen for you. If we can help you to become a Christian on this day, to let go of all of those sins that you've ever committed and receive the salvation that comes from God, why don't you come and we stand and sing the invitation song. We're going to transition into the communion. The Bible says to us in John chapter 6 and verse number 46, "Not that any man had seen the Father, save he which is of God, and he had seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers had eaten manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What a wonderful memory that God has left us, that we might partake in his body that was broken and his blood that was shed for us on Calvary's cross. He calls us to commune with him and with fellow Christians at this time. Let us pray. Oh, most wonderful and gracious Father, we bow down before you in humble submission, ask that you might search our hearts and our minds and allow us, Father, to repent of our sins as we come before your holy throne of grace and mercy. Looking forward to partaking of this broken body and this blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that we might remember, Father, that you've passed us over from death to life, and you've given us the assurance of faith that your darling Son, Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, he was raised again, never to die again, Father. He was resurrected and appeared 40 days after. What a wonderful gospel, a gospel that saves our lives. And we remember. And you've called us to remember, and our hearts rejoice as we sit and sup at the table with you and our fellow Christians. We ask that you might bless our lives and allow us to take this in a manner that will not render us helpless in that great and last day. These are all blessings we ask in your darling Son, Jesus' name. Amen.